is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
RT. RT. What is it? What does it represent? Why is it now in the news again? It was with the United States several years ago in early days of the internet and video. And there is a report that it might be under consideration to return to the U.S. during the Trump administration. I welcome Ivana Stradner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing most recently at The Hill about the RT threat, information war, and the puzzlement, the paradox of discarding the support for Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, and the Voice of America, at the same time welcoming RT, Russian TV, Russian television, Russian telecommunications, just RT, back to the U.S. audience. Ivana, a very good evening to you. Your piece is very convincing, but we need to do some definitions. What is information war? How does it work? Where does it come from? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thank you very much for inviting me, and always pleasure to speak with you. So indeed, as Russia already believes, we are in information war with Moscow. Putin is a KGB guy, does not have to use any hard power to change the world order, because he has enough soft power tools to accomplish his security objectives. And one of them is indeed RT, which is a former Russia Today. And as I always like to joke, Russia Today actually serves as a propaganda platform, so you do not actually figure out what's really happening in Russia Today. But on a serious note, there are lots of rumors that the Trump administration might actually lift sanctions. And earlier this month, the former RT America editor claimed that the President Trump would remove sanctions on RT within 2 weeks' time. And he wrote an open letter published on X, praised Trump for moving at Rob's speed to protect freedom of speech. I believe that would be a big mistake. And let me start with the fact that a free expression is and free speech are tremendously important in the U.S. And for most of us who live in the United States and who are immigrants in this country, that's one of our favorite things. But the problem is that when you have influence operations that are run directly from the Kremlin, that's not the violation of free speech if we ban such influence operations, because that's part of Russia's security apparatus to undermine the West. RT is just, you know, one of the platforms that Russia has been operating in the West. They have also Sputnik. They have they are now building a new information operations network to BRICS TV to target specifically the global South. Russia has also adapted its influence operations by using more and more social media influencers. But I want to remind you and your audience about how Russia actually perceives influence operations and information war. The Russian military openly strategies, they openly claim that in the ongoing revolution in information technologies would foster a security environment in which information and psychological warfare will largely lay the groundwork for a victory. Russia's back then Minister of Defense, he actually also made a comment on Russia's military modernization, and he noted that information operations forces were established. And the Russian military openly talk that information has become a weapon. It's quite, you know, weird because right now with America's decision to limit basically the work of our soft power, including the Voice of America and the Radio Free Europe, that's largely been celebrated in Moscow. And it's, you know, quite funny that the Russian government and Russian influencers talk, you know, how the free speech in the United States is limited. It's quite weird, given that there is truly no free speech inside Russia. Because if you use the word war instead of a special military operation, you can end up 15 years in a prison. And following Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine, Washington actually sanctioned RT, and Washington accused RT of undermining Western democracies, interfering in U.S. presidential election, and fundraising for Russian military equipment to be used against Ukraine. And the Biden administration actually targeted different measures against RT editor-in-chief, Margarita Simonyan, among others, and sized over two dozen web domains spreading fake news and disinformation. And Russia decided, you know, to retaliate against U.S. media, claiming, you know, that this is absolutely outrageous. And then you had like a foreign ministry spokesperson, Maria Zakharova, who said that the West basically primitive ways of influencing their waters, indicating, you know, the decline of liberal democracies.
Right.
So they definitely, you know, believe that we are in an information war. And what I argue in my article, instead of allowing Moscow to polarize our society further, we should actually put Moscow on the defensive, and the Trump administration should bring the information war to the Kremlin. Washington should use offensive influence operations to prompt Moscow to make decisions that are to its advantage. And my last point to that is, who has information superiority is going to win this war. That's exactly how Russian military strategists believe. So we better be ready to compete in that information space.
A puzzle about RT. I've noted, and you cited in your article, it has an affection for conspiracy stories. Why? Why does it so easily fall into telling fantastic versions of reality? How does that help it?
Well, you know, it's a very unfair battlefield in information space, because we as a democracy, we cannot write those sensationalist stories that can trigger your dopamine rush with sensationalist news to do like smear campaigns, et cetera, that RT can do.
Let me give you an example of that one that's been around for decades, that the CIA is responsible for the assassination of John F. Kennedy. That story never goes away. It's understood as fantastic and unrealized, and we now have what's left of the Kennedy documents to demonstrate it never really was anything substantive. But RT repeats it. Conspiracy hounds repeat it. How does that help them?
I mean, they love to polarize the society, and spreading conspiracy theories is very helpful for them. But it's not only about JFK. You know what's been around there for several decades, actually. They claim how also the U.S. intelligence created the HIV.
Yeah.
And that was a very old campaign during the Cold War. Nowadays, things have not changed much, because they are using a very similar script accusing the United States of operating biolabs. And that's an information operations, you know, for the West. They also have had the one, you know, for Ukraine, for example, where they accused that there were like a biolabs that trained migratory birds to deliver bioweapons. They use drones to deliver bioweapons. I can go on and on. So the only thing that has truly changed since the Cold War is actually new technologies that allow disinformation campaigns to be spread in a very, very fast way, and to target specific audience.
Let's go to the Western Balkans, where information war is a dominant story. I'll ask you, What does Serbia TV, what does Bosnia-Herzegovina TV look like with information war? Ivana Stratner of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy writing at The Hill, but I'm going to call upon her to also report on the Western Balkans where there's big trouble and the Russians are visiting. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.